Okay, so we're in the middle of Parak Zayin, Nigaras Atshuva. And yesterday we learned about having Rachmanis. And the Baal HaTanya was telling us that there's a Derech HaEmes V'HaYashar L'Bechinas Tshuva. And he said there's two things that a person who wants to get on the true and straight path to Tshuva needs to do. Number one is to be Ma'orer, to awaken Rachmanis. Rachmanis on what? We said first and foremost, Rachmanis on the Shmaso V'Nafsho Elokis. To have Rachmanis on your soul, which means to have Rachmanis on yourself, and to say to myself, how did I fall from an Igra Rama to a Bira Mikta? How did I fall from such a lofty plane to such a low, low, low pit? And to give myself over to the Sitra Achra. And B, this is B of part one, right? Again, there's two things we need to do. The first one is Rachmanis. Included within Rachmanis is two subcategories. Number one, have Rachmanis on your soul and Rachmanis on yourself. And the way that I was explaining it yesterday, Ve'al Mekorav Mekor HaChaim, and have Rachmanis on the Shorish of your soul. Again, it's really one and the same. But have Rachmanis on, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech, Asur Baratim. That the king is, so to speak, being held captive. Berihite Mocha, we said yesterday. Right? With the gutters, literally the gutters of your mind. That the thoughts that a person allows to enter into his Kodesh Kadashim, into the king's inner chamber, puts the king in a very uncomfortable position. We quoted from the end of Perech Avdala in the Tanya, the mashal of taking the king, grabbing him by his head, and stuffing it into the Beis HaKisei, into a Makom Tzoa. Right, the very intense and uncomfortable Lashonos of the Baal HaTanya at the end of Perech Avdala of Tanya. Okay, and then we continued on page 193, to explain the second thing that we need to do. Where on the page is the second thing we need to do? It's in line 4. Va'beis, the second thing we need to do is to crush and to suppress the klipa and the sitra acha. In other words, Hashem malach geus lavesh, if we want Hashem to be the melech, then Hashem is entitled geus lavesh, Hashem is entitled to gaiva, which means that if gaiva falls into the hands of the sitra acha, something's very off. If there's a sense of pride, if there's a sense of gaiva, a sense of haughtiness and lack of submission before Hashem, right? That is the domain of the Sitra Achra. And what we need to try to do is to crush him and to take away his power. Right? To make sure that the V'ram Levavcha V'Shachachta Hashem Elokecha, like the Pasuk says, a person will have a haughty heart and will forget Hashem. Ram, we said, is Gematria Amalek. So we have to try to pull out the Gaiva. We have to try to pull out the Gaiva from Amalek. To take away their Gaiva. There's something in Gematria called Mispar Katan. Ever know what Mispar Katan is? Mispar Katan is where I take everything down into the ones column. Right? I bring everything down into the ones column. So a Malek in Gematria is 240. Ayin is 70, Mem is 40, Lamed is 30, Kuf is 100, 240. Ram. Right? And the goal is that we should take away the Ram of a Malek, that haughtiness of a Malek, and we should save a Ram al Kol Goyim Hashem. Give that honor and give that power and give that elevated stature back to Hashem. What's the Mispar Katan of a Malek? What do you think? 15? 15. 15. So I saw once in a sefer, I think it's called Teferes Svi. I have it up. It's from a Talmud of the Chedush Arim, if I'm not mistaken. So he says in the Teferes Svi that the Gematria of a Malek in Mispar Katan is 15, which is the Gematria of... Which is the Gematria of... Gaiva. 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 So Amalek is a Baal Gaiva through and through. Right? Gaiva. Because Ayin is... Is it right? Ayin in 70 is become 7. Mem is 40 becomes 4. Lamed becomes 3. And Kuf, which is 100, becomes 1. That's called Mispar Katan. Okay, where you bring everything down into its smallest shoresh. So 70 is rooted really in 7, and 40 is rooted in 4. So you bring everything down into 30 is rooted in 3. So you bring everything down to the ones column. Again, this is already found in the Kadmonim. This was not someone sitting on a computer bored one afternoon trying to figure out what could I do to play with the Torah. This is rooted in very early sources. But Gaiva is Gematria Malik in Mispar Katan because it's Hava Hatali, it's the same thing. Okay? Good? So a person has to destroy the Sitra Achra by crushing it. How do we crush it? So we said yesterday, we crush it with by offering a Ruach Nishbara. So we said, well, how do you do a Ruach Nishbara? We come to Lev Nishbar. Well, how do you come to Lev Nishbar? So he said, there's only a little bit that we can accomplish through fasting and afflicting our body. Right? There are only few who can achieve a lot in that way because we're too weak. David HaMelech, Libi Chal B'Kirbi. David stilled his Yetzer Hara by fasting it to death. We can't do that. So what do we need to do? So he said, towards the bottom of page 193 yesterday, right, about 10 lines up, we said a person has to become a what? Marei d'chushbana. Marei d'chushbana ba'omek hadas. To become a master of what? A master of cheshbon nefesh. To become a master of accounting. Not accounting for the CPA exam, but accounting for taking an accounting of one's life and one's soul. And again, it's connected to the first part. Part of the rachmanis you have on yourself is that I become self-aware again. That I say, whoa, why am I living this way? How did I allow myself to become this? This is not who I'm supposed to be. Okay? And in that way, we take back the power. And the very last thing we said yesterday, and then we'll go on to today, the very last thing that we quoted at the very bottom of the page was the Gemara in Brachos Yud Ches Amud Beis, that the wicked, Rishayim Bechayayim Kriya Mesim, that in Russia, even when he's alive, he's considered dead. Klomar Shechayayim Nimshachim Yimakum HaMavetz HaTumah. That they're sustaining themselves from death itself. Right? Again, going back to last week, the mashal of a person who wants to eat nothing but ice cream and donuts, and how long will the person actually be able to sustain himself in that way? So the Rasha, I'm alive, look how alive I am. I'll tell you a great mashal that Rav Grossman from Migdal HaEmek. What's his first name?
David Grossman.
So he said one time he was sitting with So he said one time he was sitting with some very, very wealthy individual who was a very, very depressed individual. And he said to Rav Grossman, he said, you know, Rabbi, people think I have everything that a person could want in this world. I have, you know, endless amounts of money and luxuries and pleasures. He says, but my wife doesn't love me, and my children don't love me, and my life is very broken. So Rav Grossman said, I'll tell you what I saw one time. He said, I was once walking in Migdal HaEmek, and I saw a kid who was sitting on, on the curb, and he had a soda bottle. And he was looking at the soda bottle and chuckling to himself. So I walked over and I said, what is that? So he shows me he caught a fly in the soda bottle. So he shows me this fly. Now the fly, he says, the fly is looking for a way to get out of the soda bottle. So the fly is going this way and that way and up and down and back and forth. But what's really happening to this fly is that what? It's dying a slow death. It has a limited amount of air. And unless this kid opens the cap of that soda bottle, right, the fly is not going to make it. Now, if you look at the fly, Rav Grossman said to this fellow, who was a big executive in the entertainment world. He said, I look at the people in your world, they're like this fly. They're running from one party to the next. It looks like they're momish, they're living it up. This fly looks so alive. It's like fast-paced and exciting. But really, it's suffocating. So you can have a Russia who bechayayim, right, nikrumesim. They look more alive. You look sometimes again out the window and you see a world that, well, the world is having such a good time. Look how people are running about and having fun and enjoying themselves. And then you come into the Beis Medrash and you see a person, sitting quietly over a Gemara. You say, who's really living it up? Right? But the answer is, the person outside is like that fly who's running wildly but is really suffocating and dying a slow and painful death. Well, in reality, the Jew who is sitting in the Beis Medrash is mamash alive, is truly alive. Okay? And he said, that's the pshat, the top of page 194, that's the pshat, lo amesim yahaluka. Lo amesim yahaluka means a person who's dead can't praise Hashem. What does that mean? Let's take it from the top of 194. Eino kaloig l'rosh chas v'shalom. We're not, God forbid, poking fun at a person who's dead. Right? We're not saying, look, we're able to praise Hashem and you're dead and you can't. That's not what we're saying. Ela kavana al rishayim. When we say this pasuk, nebach, those who are dead can't praise Hashem. Those who are dead are walking down the street. But they're dead. Why? Shebechayim kriyim mesim. Shemebablim osav machshava zaros ba'odam berisham. That the rishis causes them to have all sorts of a bilbul hamalach. Right, the melech asur brahatim again from the beginning of the parak. The king who is held in captivity, and again, Chazal say that what? That where is he being held? With what? Berihite mocha. He's trapped in the gutters of the mind. He's chained to your mind. So again, you have this person whose machshava was from Baalba him so much with his rishus, ve'enim chafetzim b'tshuva knoda. And the person doesn't even know that he needs to do tshuva or wants to do tshuva. And he certainly can't pray to Hashem in that place. He can't call out to Hashem. He doesn't have the means to recognize Hashem and to recognize the true source of his life. Okay? Now, we spoke about the question of how does a person who's chayav kares live for so long? So let's talk about a way that a person can get into serious trouble even if he doesn't do a very, very serious avera. Va'af mishalo avaral avon kares v'gam lo avon misa b'dei shamayim. Let's say you have an individual, he didn't do an avera that you're chayav kares for, God forbid. He didn't do an avera that you're chayav misa b'dei shamayim for, God forbid. Right? Which includes even a person, God forbid, who's nichshol and pagam habris, right? That this is something which is treated very seriously. Elishar averos kals. Let's say he has those in yonim under control, and he does other small averos. Again, what's considered a big avera and a small avera? It's a little hard for us to say, but let's say he does a whatever Hashem determines to be a small avera. Afal pichein me'achar shein pogvim b'neshama v'nefesh halukis. Since the small averos also are pogim, they also cause damage to the soul. Ukemashal pegimas upsikas chavalim dakim kaniskal. Going back to our imagery from above of Yaakov chaval nachalaso. There's kares that cuts the rope. There's misa bidei shemayim that can cut the rope. Right? But then there are smaller averos that are what? That are pogim in the rope. Going back to our muscle, he says, it's pegimas upsikas, it damages or severs the chavalim dakim, the thin strands. It's not going to cause you to come crashing to the ground. You're not severing the entire rope. But again, the rope is made up of 613 mitzvos. There are some that are so critical that it holds the whole rope up. There are others that if you cut that rope, if you violate that avera, or if you miss that mitzvah, so then you compromise the strength of the rope. So if a person does one of the smaller averos, which again in our mashal is damaging or cutting the finer strand, the chavalim dakim, the fine strands of the rope. Harei, now look at this. Harei beribwe hachatam yachol lios pegam kamo balav echad sheyesh bo kares o misa. What happens if a person does a lot of these averos? A lot of small averos. See, the problem is you might say, well, this is just a little thing and that is just a little thing and this is just a little thing and that's just a little thing. But eventually, what started off as 613 ropes, right? So I cut one, no big deal. It's still strong. Nothing, no noticeable change. I cut another one. No noticeable change. I cut another one. All right, the rope's a little wobbly, but it's still strong. It's not going to come crashing down. But if you keep doing all these averos, even though they're the smaller averos, eventually what? It adds up. Or even if you do one avera repeatedly, that could also add up. That could also add up to cause a very, very great threat to one's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kamo shehim shel hanavi hachatoim la'anan hama'afil or hashemesh. Like the Navi compared, gave a mashal, a comparison of what? Of sin to a thick, dark cloud that blocks the light of the sun. As the Pasuk says, kamo shekasuv, like the Pasuk in Yeshayim Mem Dalet says, machisi cha'av pishaecha heim averos chamuros hamavdilim bimpnimis hashpas shem avaya baruch hu lenefesh elokis. The pasuk says machisi ka'av pishaecha, that like a thick cloud, right? I have covered over your sins, have covered over, have caused a blockage. So he says that refers to the big averos that separate between what? Separate between the pnimiyas hashpah shem avaya baruch hu lenefesh elokis. That connection to Hashem. Hashem is that sun, so to speak, in the mashal. And the sun wants to shine its glorious rays down to light up the world, and to warm the world, and to give energy to the world. And now there's an avera, a thick avera, a big avera, that blocks the sun's rays from being able to shine to this world. Like the separation that is caused by the cloud that separates the sun from the earth and the people who dwell upon it in our mashal. Continues the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk spoke about what? Ka'av, like a thick cloud. Now we're talking about an anan. And we're not talking about pesha, we're talking about chayt. We're talking about lesser averos. Lesser averos create smaller clouds. But however, what happens if there's a lot of smaller clouds? What happens if there's a revoy of smaller clouds? Hein averos kalos sha'adam dashba kevav. These are the small things that people trample. The averos that someone treads upon with his heels. Hamavdilin kavdalos anan kal v'kalush al derech mashal. And they cause to be mavdil, to separate, like a thin cloud, right? Like a cloud that's kal v'kalush, that's flimsy, that's thin. That's not so strong. It's not going to block out the entire sun if there's just one or two or even three of these clouds. But finishing the mashal, he says, in mesim adam neged or hashemesh bechalon mechitzos kalos v'kalushos l'rov ma'od. If a person puts many thin and flimsy dividers, right, between the sun and himself, he puts in his window, he puts a screen. Okay, a screen's not going to block out the sun, but he puts another screen. And he puts a piece of paper. And he puts, right, so each one of these things is very thin, and the rays of light independently could penetrate each of these dividers. But once you have 20 of them, 30 of them, 100 of them, a million of them, it becomes much more difficult for a person to what? To have contact with the sun. A couple of Sundays ago, some of us were learning the Avodas Pnim. And he said, when a person does an Avera, it's very important to do tshuva right away, even if it's a small Avera. For exactly this reason. Because what would start off as a small Avera, if I do that small Avera again, and again, and again, right? So, well, it's just a small Avera, but it starts to build up. And it creates a thick wall. So if you messed up, right, don't say, well, it's just a small Avera, it's not going to actually get anywhere. And even if I do this Avera again, but I'm not going to get involved in bigger Averas, the small Averas also, they're compounded one upon the other. So if you do the Avera, do tshuva right away. Tear it down while it's still just a flimsy screen that separates you from Hashem. Don't wait till it's a big wall and then start figuring out how am I going to tear down this huge wall. Respond right away. Because again, even the mechitzos kalos v'kalushos, if they're rov ma'od, hein ma'afilos k'mo mechitza achas ava v'yoser. They will cause the light to be blocked out, like a thick mechitza, like a thick division, or perhaps even more. And the same thing is true in our nimshal, when it comes to small averos. The same way these little walls can add up to block out the sun, so too these small averos can actually add up. So don't pat yourself on the back and say, well, I never did kares, I never did something that chayim misa for. Right? Remind yourself, I have a lot of little averos, and that can also cause me to be disconnected from the source of life. And all the more so if we're talking about averos that Chazal emphasize. If you think about it, in Shas, there are certain averos that Chazal speak very strongly about. But it says in Pirkei Avos, I should treat all mitzvos and averos equally. I don't know what's more, what's less. True. But if the greatest spiritual doctors of all time spoke out in a particular strong way about a few select things, and he's going to give us a short list here, then I have to be more mindful of those things. Not all 613 do Chazal have strong things to say about. Right? You can find the Chazal on every mitzvah. But I'm saying there are certain mitzvahs where Chazal is very strong, the Shonos. So therefore you'll say, but yeah, but it's not a Kares Avera, and it's not a Misa Avera. But it's a big deal because it's the things that Chazal were mefursim about, that they're a big deal. There are certain averos that we treat as a small offense that in Chazal's mind were as big as the big three. Kamo, lamashal, ha'alamas ayin min tzedakah. Ignoring, a person who has the means to give tzedakah and a person turns their eye away from that individual and does not give tzedakah. That's a huge offense. How do you know? Because the Torah says, yishamar lecha pen yad davar im levavcha b'li'al. That guard yourself, be careful. It's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, a couple weeks ago. Yishamar lecha pen yad davar im levavcha b'li'al. There shouldn't be a something in your heart that is b'li'al. You know what b'li'al means? You know how b'li'al is used elsewhere in Tanakh? Bli'al is often used in reference to a person who's involved in Avodah Zarah. To an Oved Avodah Zarah. That's what Ayin Ayin Aleph stands for. Bli'al he, Oved Avodas, what's the Aleph? Alilim. Oved Avodas Alilim. So here you have a person who says, well, I just didn't give so much tzedakah. What's the big deal? That's Avodah Zarah. It's a pasuk in Chumash, Parshas Re'eh, Perek Tesvav. V'amisaper b'gnos chavero. Ah, I'm just cracking some jokes with my friends. Right? Made fun of someone. Well, guess what? The Gemara says about Metzia, it would be better to fall into a fiery furnace than to embarrass someone, to poke fun at another person. Right? He Lashon Hara. A person who is involved in making fun of others is speaking Lashon Hara. The Chavetz Chaim calculates a potential of 31 averos, 17 and 14. It's the same. It's the Salosa say that a person could violate every single time you speak Lashon Hara. Countless prohibitions of the Torah the Chavetz Chaim puts together at the beginning of Sefer Chavetz Chaim. Hashakula Kavodah Zarah Gilerayah Shvichas Damim. Avodah Zarah Gilerayah Shvichas Damim is what Lashon Hara is compared to in the Gemara and Erechim. Serious stuff. How about this Maimer Chazal? Anyone know where this Maimer Chazal comes from? We call it Koes Ki'ilo Oved Avodah Zarah. Anyone who gets angry, it's as if he worshipped Avodah Zarah. So we have similar statements in Shas. The only place where we find this exact formulation is the Zohar. What's interesting, I spoke about this past year on Shavuos. What's interesting is that the Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Deos quotes this Maimer Chazal called Koes Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah. So everyone says, well, where did the Rambam get this from? Does this mean the Rambam learned Zohar? Okay. So it's a good shiur for another time. Happy to give it if whoever's interested. But that's a big deal. You get angry, it's as if you're an idol worshipper. The Rambam Hilchos Deos Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. A person who gets angry is an idol worshipper. Yeah, a lot of tzaddikim say, but he's saying Chazal say. He's saying, you know, this is not only in Leder's farm. These are the greatest, you know, earliest sources. B'chol mi sheyesh bo gasas ruach, a person who's a bal gaiva, is also like an Oved Avodah Zarah. Like we spoke the other day, the Gemara in Sota. The Kahina Rabos B'Gemara, there are many examples of this. Where Chazal points to certain things. The Rambam says there are two traits you need to destroy completely. What are they? The Rambam says we walk the Shvil Azav, we walk the middle path. What are the two areas that a person is extreme about? Kas and Gaiva. Right here. Anger and haughtiness. A person has to go to the extreme. Kas and Gaiva. Yeah, it's one and the same. Yes. In the spiritual realms, it's the same. It comes from the same place. Okay? How about on the positive side? V'tal mitorah keneged kulan. Heard that Mishnah? Maseches Peah. Said it before? Tal mitorah keneged kulan. K'mayim rechazal. Like Chazal say, Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avodah Zarah v'chulu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevater. What does mevater mean? Hashem is willing to overlook. Hashem says, I can forgive Avodah Zarah, I can forgive Gilei Arayos, I can forgive Shvichas Damim, but the one thing that I cannot forgive is Bittul Torah. So we think, oh, Bittul Torah is extra credit. Learning Torah is extra credit. Night Seder, extra credit. Night Seder is extra credit. But it's not. It's a bigger deal. Hashem says, I'll forget Avodah Zarah. We can work that out. Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Damim, no problem. Bittul Torah, Hashem says, I want to give you a hug, and you say, nah, no thanks. That's the Mashal of the Baal Tanya, in the fourth parak of Tanya. The Melech wants to give you a hug. The King of the world wants to give you a hug and learn Torah with you. Right? Chol Makom Asher Azkir Hashemi, Avoy Lecha Ve'Achticha. When you mention my name is the Torah. Hashem says, I want to sit with you, I want to talk with you. We're going to learn B'Chavrusa. We're going to develop an intimate relationship. I want to give you a hug. I want to make contact with you. And he says, no thanks. I'd rather check ESPN. So, Hashem says, I can't forgive such an offense. Yes?
I think my parents would much rather ditch them on dinner than burn down the house. So, like, in this context, why would Hashem prefer you certain crazy sins as opposed to the
Father? Because the Melech is offering to give you a hug.
Yeah, but I feel like if I could get a hug tomorrow, you know, like, I don't want to burn the house down tonight, you know?
I don't want to be more graphic about it, but imagine a chassan and kala on their wedding night. The chassan says, "I'd rather go. I'm going to go watch." You know, they get back, they go to a hotel after their wedding, right? And the chassan says, "Instead of spending the first night with my wife, I'm going to go down to the lobby and drink a beer and watch, you know, SportsCenter. I'm going to watch SportsCenter." So Hashem says, every time we learn Torah together, we're getting together in a very deep way. And you'll say, yeah, but we get together with Hashem all the time. That's why Chazal say, Hayom, that every time we learn Torah, it should be like the first time. So every time Hashem says, let's learn Torah together, it's like the Chassan and Kala having the opportunity to be together for the first time. And the Chassan says, I'd rather watch ESPN. I'm going to go down to the hotel lobby and munch on some peanuts and pretzels and drink a beer and watch SportsCenter. And, you know, and I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. Okay, we have to have a healthy understanding of what's bittul in terms of bittul Torah. But again, we also have to understand what it is, that it's contact with the Melech, and to say to Hashem, "I'm not interested," is a very, very serious offense. V'lachein, let's finish the parak. V'lachein sidru b'kriyashma sh'alamita. Turn the page. So when a person says kriyashma alamita, he's mekabel alav dalet misas beisim. When a person says Kriya Shema Alamita, he goes through the possibility that I did certain things over the course of the day that have severed my connection with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe I am Chayav Misa. Look what he says here. Milvad, Shal Pi HaSod. In addition to that which we understand in the deepest domains, that call a pogame ba'os yud shal shem havaya ki'ilu nischayev skila. A person who says, who damaged the yod of Hashem's name, is chayav skila of the dalet misos based stoning. Hapogim bo'os hay ki ilun is chayav sreifa. A person who damages the hay of Hashem's name is chayav sreifa. A person who's damaging the os vav ki ilun is chayav herek. Uva os hay achrona ki ilun is chayav chenek. Strangulation. Vamavato kriyashma. So he says, look, there are certain mitzvot that correspond to these letters. A person misses out on Shema, that's damaging the letter Yud, and a person has to think, oh my gosh, I'm Chayiv Skila. Now you're not actually Chayiv Skila in a Beis in Shalmata for missing Kriya Shema. But the point is, you've severed a string of connection, right? And if a person continues in this path, it's, well, it's just a minor offense. But if you miss Kriya Shema, if you miss Sozma Kriya Shema on a daily basis, that adds up. And that turns into a big deal. Because you're being pogim in the letter Yud of Hashem's name. Person misses Tfilin. He's pogim ba'osei. Tzitzis, osvav. Right? Tfilah, ba'osei. So each mitzvah, and again this is something the Rebbe Rashab talks about in the Sefer HaMa'amarim, he goes through these mitzvahs. Why is Kriya Shema Yud? Why is Tfilin Hey? Why is Tzitzis Vav? Why is Tfilah Hey? And from here a person can make the following cheshbon, that the same thing is true, that every single avera or mitzvah corresponds to one of the letters of Hashem's name. There are mitzvahs and averas that correspond to Yud, there are mitzvahs and averas that correspond to Hey, to Vav, and to Hey. Ubitul Torah keneged kula. And Bitul Torah is erasing Hashem's whole name, because the Torah, as the Ramban says in the Hakdamah to Chumash, the Torah from beginning to end is the name of Hashem. So a person who is Mavatal Torah, not only is Pogam in a Yud, or a Hey, or a Vav, or a Hey, he mamish erases Shem Havai, erases Hashem's name. Okay? So this is a pretty heavy end of a parak. It's a pretty serious deal. But he's trying to sensitize us that, again, we sometimes become the type of people who are focused on the big avers. And we say, I'm still alive. I'm still alive. Again, I'll even use your mashal against you. Yaakov chevel nachalasu. As long as I don't do something to cut the rope, I'm still drawing connection from Hashem. But remember this other mashal. The mashal of the sun that's trying to shine his beautiful rays down to the world to energize the world. And God forbid, a person puts a mechitza. And at first he says, yeah, but the ray of sun, the light is still trickling through. But then he puts another one. And then he puts another one. And then he puts another one. And before you know it, he's lost his connection. And lo amesim yahaluka. Then he's a walking dead man. And he's not able to praise Hashem. He can't speak to Hashem. He can't communicate with Hashem. Hashem kiviyachol can't communicate with him because of this wall that divides them. So let's not chas v'shalom, take any avera lightly. And let's try to come again to these feelings of Rachmanis and to Bittul of the Yetzer Hara, the Sitra Achra, through the Shviras HaLev that comes from a Cheshbon HaNefesh. The Cheshbon HaNefesh, that every single thing that a Jew does is really, really, really important. Bein Mitzad Tov, Bein Mitzad Ra. It's really, really important. And to spend time thinking about it. I don't want to even be pogrim a little bit, even a small strand of connection to Hashem. It may not cause me to come crashing down. And it won't at first. But it can build up and it can eventually sever the connection. But more than that, why would I want to lose even a small connection to a Kadosh Baruch? Why would I ever want to compromise that rope of Yaakov Chevel Nachalasa that attaches me to Kutch Abrich? Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, we should all be zochet to mekayim. What he says here is the derech ha'emes va'yashar lebechinas tshuva. Shkayach.